Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
B-Pod Studios.
Dog in the race, but yeah.
Saints, forge your own path. Like, the fact that you're hung up on the Eagles playing Meek Mill in the locker room.
It's weird.
Do your own thing.
It's so weird.
You're like, losers worry about winners. And that's, to me, what they seem to be hyper-focused on the Eagles.
All right, losers
and
I know worry about winners. What are you doing right now?
You're a loser worrying about a winner. We're a champion for three more weeks, Bob.
Bob, did you hear it?
I heard the Bob.
There's a little stank on
we're
that.
We're still champs, Bob.
That doesn't bother me. I mean, who cares?
I just find it lame. It's corny.
All right.
Like, do your own thing.
I agree. But the other part that I don't understand, it's not like we're a division rival with
yeah.
the Saints.
It's all one-sided. We don't care about the Saints, and but they're hyper-focused on us because they think they could have beat us last year. Like, what?
Yeah, and here's the thing. The Saints aren't going to win the Super Bowl, so no matter what they do.
Let's go, Rams.
No matter what they do, they're not going to top what the Eagles did, and they can't go back in time to yeah. blowing a play against the Vikings last year.
Yeah, like we had nothing to do with that.
Exactly. So back off, bro.
Yeah.
All right? They're Drew Brees. How about that? And the rest of your squad. But in all seriousness, it's not like it's an NFC East rival. It's not a division rival.
Yeah.
It's not like the Eagles beat the Saints earlier in the season on some fluke call.
Right.
Like, there's no reason.
No.
You killed the Eagles.
Somebody tweeted me and was like, well, Eagles fans are obsessed with the Cowboys. And I was like, that's a division rival.
That's stupid. People are idiots.
And Kamara and Ingram doing the interview in the ski mask. Like, I hope the Rams blow you out by three touchdowns.
So do I. We are talking all things birds, obviously, here on this Football Monday, brought to you by Recovery Centers of America. Call today at 1-800-RECOVERY or visit 1-800-RECOVERY.com/radio. Here on 97.5, the Fanatic WP in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. 7 a.m. hour, brought to you by Univest Bank Financial Solutions for your business. I want to go around the horn real quick. If you had to say one reason, the main reason the Eagles lost this game, Trey, what would you go with?
Foles.
Foles' performance overall.
Yeah, his performance last night, yesterday, just wasn't up to par.
Does that feel weird to say after basically he's been a big part of why you've won games?
Yeah, but I mean, it's the truth, though. I felt like his performance just really wasn't up to par.
I can't disagree with that entirely. I mean, I think the reason they didn't win this game is because they had an opportunity to step on the throats of the Saints with Brandon Graham falling on it. First off, he made the play, sack fumble. He had the opportunity to fall on that ball and take it the rest of the way and give it back to the offense that was red hot, and they didn't do that. Yeah. In retrospect, that was foreshadowing. Bob, number one reason they lost.
I'm going to say the defense's inability to get New Orleans off the field. I mean, you had a drive of almost 7 minutes there, and then you had the other one, which was 11 and a half minutes, converting third and longs, not being able to get the ball back for your... But ultimately, they did. Ultimately, they got the ball back for their offense with over two minutes to go. But the defense was just spent. And when you have you're counting on a defensive front to get to the quarterback without much help, as Trey pointed out, they didn't blitz hardly at all. And those guys are just absolutely spent because of how long New Orleans was on the field. 38-22 is wound up being in minutes wise in their time of possession. So that's where I'll have to go.
Huge part of it, no doubt about that. What do you got, Jamie?
What came to my gut first was the performance of Foles. You know, outside of that final drive, he was pretty atrocious.
So the other thing that I have to look at, and it's funny the way the season has gone. Week 6, I'm not thinking this. And now here we are after the divisional round of the playoffs losing to the Saints. Rasul Douglas getting hurt.
Well, that fourth and goal, if he's in the game there, I'm not so sure they get that so easy.
Exactly. And the minute Drew Brees saw undrafted free agent rookie from 2016. I think he went to the Packers, he was the Patriots for a while. I think he almost followed the career of Cravon LeBlanc, as a matter of fact. Except Cravon LeBlanc's a stud. And Josh Hawkins comes in the game.
Cravon LeBlanc's a stud.
Damn right he is.
Wow.
Let's be honest with each other. When Josh Hawkins ran onto the field and the Kevin Burkhardt's like, and Hawkins makes the tackle, did you not go, who the hell is that?
Hersey Hawkins.
That's right.
That's where I went.
Exactly. And I'm looking around going, what the hell? Who's this guy?
Yeah, I had to go look at on the depth chart. What is this? Who?
He was added to the roster. I think he was signed the December 11th, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And I think he was activated shortly after Christmas. And now all of a sudden he's playing a playoff game for you as a cornerback. And, of course, he allows the touchdown. The minute he trotted onto the field, Drew Brees is like, oh, I got that guy.
Well, Fletcher Cox and him going out in the second quarter was devastating because you felt the impact of Cox going out right away, and then you get down on the goal line, they pick on that kid. It's just like,
Not even. It was easy for them.
Yeah.
And they ran a little, I think it was an attempt at a pick play or whatever it was, and Hawkins got caught up in the coverage with LeBlanc and couldn't get to the outside fast enough. It actually looked like he was going to reach out and break up the play for a second from the way the camera angle was.
For a second.
And then it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't, unfortunately. Let's get to... here we go. Cowboy Kenny.
That's all right. He lost, too.
He did. Cowboy Kenny...
They lost first.
Yes, exactly. At least our playoff run was longer.
Yeah, if you get something out of that, man, that's good. But, that was a horrible weekend, bro. I'm upset, man. I mean... Worst come to worst, at least y'all could have kept going, man, and represent the NFC East. Now we got nothing. So I'm upset all the way around, man. Believe me, y'all losing didn't make me happy. So, I mean, that was just awful. But I think the game turned when they got that fake punt, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys were up 14-0 about to get the ball back, and they do that fake punt, and it changed the whole – I mean, it absolutely changed the whole momentum of the game, if you ask me.
Yeah, did anybody else, Kenny, did anybody else have the feeling like they were going to go for it there? Fourth and one.
Actually, my son said, watch the, because the guy who got the yard, he's like a punt, a quarterback.
Yeah, hell.
Steve, I mean, this guy does everything.
Wildcat.
My son said, watch him. Yeah, and as soon as he said it, boom, they give him the ball right up the middle, first down, momentum swing. But look, man, I mean, I could say all this stuff to make us feel better. Like, we both got young teams, and these guys better watch out for the NFC East coming forward. But that don't make me feel no better, bro. I mean, I'm hurting riding up this highway with all this butane. Man, I'm hurting, man.
All right, easy. Be careful, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for checking in, Kenny. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, it was a tough one for both teams, but it still did make me a little giddy that the Cowboys lost.
Absolutely.
I mean, even though it would have been fantastic to have an Eagles-Cowboys NFC Championship game.
I went to the bar Saturday night to watch the second half of that game, and you know, I was talking to people there, and I was like, yeah, let's go Rams. And somebody was like, but the Cowboys are the better matchup for the Eagles. And I was like, I don't care. I can never root for the Cowboys, ever.
I was not rooting, but I wanted, if the Eagles were to advance, yeah. I don't think they could have gone into Los Angeles and for a third straight time beat L.A. in L.A. Once last year, once this year. I had more confidence having lost twice to Dallas going down there and kicking their ass.
I will say this. If they're going to go anywhere and win three times on the road against a really good team, it would be L.A.
Yeah.
It would be Los Angeles, okay. No doubt.
Do you take the yards on that with the fake punt? Yeah, do you take the yards?
No. And I thought about that, and I think this was also brought up on postgame last night, but I think that's a situation where it's a high second guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, it did cross my mind, but I don't think it's a reason they lost.
No.
And still, with the way they were going to be, later in the game as they're converting third downs, third and longs, it wouldn't have been any different.
That play put Fletcher Cox out of the game.
It did. No, it did.
And they knew it was coming.
But you don't know he's going to get hurt when you're making that play.
But they had their, you know, the preventative safe defense in. It was the normal guys in. They knew it was a possibility. It was, you know, it's a good play.
No, they out-executed the Eagles, no doubt. And I get what you're saying, Trey, but the way I looked at it, and I thought about that, like, do you want to put him back a little bit further? But I'm like, no, it's Drew Brees. The guy is the all-time leading passer in NFL history.
When it I turned to Devon. We were watching the game together, and I said, is this just a no-brainer? You don't take this? And he's like, yeah, it is. I said, okay. Just throwing it out there, just wondering. Mm-hmm. And then after the game, I don't know if it was post-game or during the game, I don't know which it was, they said, look, no coach in the league wouldn't have done what Doug Peterson did. Yeah. He made the absolute right call.
Yeah. So. I mean, on that drive, they went for it two times. On fourth,
yeah, got
on
the touchdown
down,
too, right?
Yeah, that was the both times they converted a fourth down was on that drive. One was the fake punt, and it was after the interception, and then the other one was the fourth and goal from the two,
touchdown.
I believe it was. Yeah, that it didn't end well. Needless to say, we all watched. Is this Audi? You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. What is your name?
Audie.
Okay. Yeah, welcome aboard.
A little different.
Yeah.
Thank you. My question is, end of the first half, the Saints get the holding call. They have no timeouts left. How come there wasn't a 10-second runoff?
Wait a second. End of the first half.
Before the field goal.
Before the field goal.
Yes. I saw that get brought up as well. I don't know why there wasn't a 10-second runoff.
Because that's a little chance to get some momentum back. Or steal a tiny bit of momentum, because there's no way they get that. You know, he throws the pass, they get in field goal range. If there's a 10-second runoff, there's no way that happens.
They had 11 seconds left when they kicked the field goal.
Right, but if there was like 30...
35 seconds, offensive holding, so 10-second runoff goes down to 25.
And then they came back and threw another pass.
Yeah.
Right, and then
And they still had another timeout. Or no, sorry, Philadelphia called the timeout.
No. Philly, but wouldn't they also start the clock moving, like, you know, on the ref's whistle?
Yeah, I don't know the rule there, Trey. Is that an automatic runoff?
There's supposed to be automatic runoff, but I mean...
Inside of 2 minutes?
Yeah, but there was holding, and then you came right back in, and they had another pass.
Yeah, they passed the football, and then Brees spiked the ball with 12 seconds left.
Yeah, he spiked the ball.
Right.
So even in your scenario, there still would have been at least 2 seconds left on the clock.
If they could have got up there.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Thanks for the call, but I don't think that's what lost them the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a mistake, it seems like. Sam, how are the people feeling on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation?
Today we asked which best describes your emotions today. We have just under 1,300 votes so far. 71% say proud and 29% say angry.
Listen to that. Would that be the same thing if it was, you rolled out a bunch of different scenarios, Bob, in case if it was Wendell Smallwood fumbling instead of it was Alshon Jeffrey having the ball go through his hands. Well, what if this? What if the Eagles hadn't won the Super Bowl last year?
Good point.
Are we still back to that anger?
Oh, I'd be lighting a car on fire out of anger right now.
What if that Hail Mary from Tom Brady found Rob Gronkowski in the end zone?
Oh, the Negadelphian sky is falling sports fan
cursed.
Is here. It's over. We're never going to win it. Carson Wentz can't stay healthy. Brandon Brooks is gone. Jason Kelsey's retiring. Burn it all down.
All right, we're going to hear from Doug Peterson coming up in a couple minutes from his post-game comments last night during his press conference, things he had to get into regarding his play calling before the two-minute warning. That was another thing that a lot of people had some issues with. So we'll jump into that right at the end of the game, right before Alshon Jeffrey dropped that pass. Of course, the two-minute warning was ticking by the clock. They snapped the ball right before the two-minute warning, try to get the playoff. Some say it was rushed. We'll hear Doug's philosophy on going for it right there, as well as his message to the players after this run into the playoffs.
By the way, the runoff only happens when the clock is active, and the clock was stopped there. So,
there's the hitch right there.
So no runoff.
Copy that. Time of the Fanatic is 7:12.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wills, and Andrew Salchunas. A very hoarse Andrew Salchunas. Andrew, get on a microphone. Talk more.
Hey, guys.
So what happened yesterday? You're all the horse and whatnot.
Well, no, I was sick all last week, but then it got better.
Boo-hoo.
Shut up, Bob. But then we did the watch party yesterday. So.
I was sick all last week, and then the watch party. Oh, my gosh.
Let me just say this. Bob Cooney, I have known Bob Cooney for years, and I really like Bob Cooney. But I have never enjoyed anyone being talked to with a more condescending tone to the name than Bob.
You know where it comes from?
Is
Mad Men, the TV show. There's a scene with Pete when he gets in the elevator.
Uh-huh.
And this is where I got it from. And he goes, oh, how you doing, Pete? It's that real, I forget the guy's character. And he goes, not great, Bob. So there, that's where I go.
Mad Men's one of them shows that I watched like the first four episodes, and I was like, well, geez, this is slow as hell.
It is slow. It's all about character development.
Yeah, then like the fifth episode, I'm like, okay, I'm in.
Yeah. It's a great show.
They had that one intriguing thing at the end of the first episode, and I'm like, okay. And then, fifth episode, I'm totally in.
That's where Bob came from.
So condescending. So mean.
Well, the reason I was being so condescending unjust. To Andrew, he's 24. You don't get sick at 24.
I didn't get sick until I was 30.
You don't complain about being, like, everything should be rainbows and unicorns in your life.
No, I feel good. I did the watch party yesterday. So
oh, I did a watch party.
I'm not complaining at all.
It sure sounds like it.
Hey, happy 12th birthday to Andrew Salchunas today.
Thanks, guys.
Listen to this guy. Listen to his voice. I didn't get sick.
Did you guys
give
me something nice?
No. I had pneumonia when I was 7. Deal with it. I don't know.
I have it right now.
610-632-0975.
Trey, these young kids are soft, man.
They still kick your ass, Bob.
Bob.
Ring it.
In all seriousness, I teased this before, and this was a little sticking point for some people. And Bob, I heard you talk about this, and I say that politely, Bob. Robert, in the 5 o'clock hour, you and Jamie were talking about this, and I've seen some other people go back and forth on social media, so I'll brought up on TV as well, but the idea of not going for it, but the two-minute warning's about to hit. The Eagles just get the ball back, and instead of letting the two-minute warning hit, they decided to get one more playoff to run the clock a little bit more so you wouldn't give the ball back to Drew Brees with as much time left on it. I guess that was the strategy going into it. But that was a big sticking point for some people. Here's Doug Peterson. Well, first off, let me give you the play-by-play here. Darren Sproles runs to the right side of the football, or right side of the field, no gain on a 1st and 10. So the clock's rolling at 2:25 left in regulation. Then, just before the two-minute warning, Nick Foles takes the snap, throws to Alshon Jeffrey, goes through his hands, into the hands of Lattimore for his second interception of the game, and that's pretty much all she wrote for the Eagles. So some people had an issue with Doug not just taking the two-minute warning. Here he is after the game explaining his thought process.
Scrimmage and get the playoff. Wanted to stay aggressive. Just ran the play like two plays before when we tried to stick it there in Hurts, and we had the rough and the passer play, so it was a simple play, got lined up, and had plenty of time.
That was the only time, it was the second time on that possession that they tried to go no huddle. First one he's talking about was Zach Ertz. There was a roughing the passer penalty. It was incomplete to Zach Ertz. They move the football down the field a little bit. They go shotgun to Sproles. He runs the football, go no huddle again, shotgun, and that's when the interception happened. So were they rushing it? What was the problem? I didn't have a problem with it. I thought it was odd. I thought, yeah, take the two-minute warning and then march down the rest of the field, because what's really the difference in letting it run past it? The clock's still going to stop, even if you complete it.
Because my thought process was they were going to score, and doing so, you're leaving Drew Brees a lot more time. You essentially gave the Saints another timeout if you score.
Yeah, but they weren't going to score. Like, that wasn't a play call
to score. That was a
3-second.
All you were doing was saving 3 seconds. If that's what you're doing.
Yeah,
but it's another stop of play for the Saints to regroup. It's stopping the clock. You take the time. It's like a free time,
Second down, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just let the two-minute clock. I get what you're trying to do. You're trying to keep the clock rolling because it's going to get called anyway. So, you run a play, and then the two-minute warning comes in at 1:57?
I didn't get it either. Not that it had anything to do with the result of the play. It didn't. The play was open. It was there. Fine. I just was like, why? When they were lining up and they snapped it, I said out loud, why?
It's just about possibly giving Breeze more time.
Yeah, but the clock's still going to stop.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of if it's a 2 minute warning,
I don't know
or not,
if the advantage is that big that you had to do it. Yeah, is my right. point.
Here's why I liked them
the
trying
juice
to go.
Wasn't somewhere. Worth the squeeze.
Very true.
I like that, Trey.
Very true.
I'm gonna implement that into my vocabulary.
I'm surprised by the amount of people that don't know what that means, by the way. Just side note. But anyway, I appreciate that phrase, and I agree with you. But the reason I actually liked Doug Peterson doing what he did, I think, and we'll get into this in this hour, because a lot of the guys on the offensive line, two of the Lane Johnson and Jason Kelsey, said that the crowd noise affected them a little bit. So if you run no huddle, you're taking the crowd out of the game a little bit. And Peyton Manning used to do this. He actually used to game plan for away games for the crowd,
mm-hmm.
where he knew if he ran up to the line of scrimmage, it would be a fan is taking a sip of beer, they're biting a hot dog, they're doing something in between plays where they're not as loud. Like, Peyton Manning would put this into his game plan. So when you try to go no huddle, I'm not kidding with you.
No, I'll just imagine, like, he looks up in the crowd. Oh, the loud guy's taking a sip of beer. Go!
Yeah, right. Exactly. I know, right? But, no, that went into his thought process on away
games. That's great.
Even that he factored into his game plan.
Yeah.
So you have a situation right now where you're going up against the crowd noise and your players are saying it's an issue. Regardless if you believe it or not, they're saying it's an issue. You try to run back-to-back plays like that. You go no huddle to try to take the crowd out of the game, and you get some momentum going. That's why I didn't mind him going. And again, it's not a pivotal point of the game, but I noticed some people it rubbed the wrong way, and I thought it was just Doug trying to take the crowd out a little bit. That's the only thing that made sense to me about it. Everything else didn't make sense because the clock's going to stop anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was curious. It was if there was a huge advantage, and James, I know what you're saying, but if there was a huge advantage there, okay. But like Trey's saying, he catches that ball, you're dead. It's going to be like a 3rd and 2 if he gets tackled right there by what's his face?
Latimer,
yeah.
Yeah, but if it's a...
You're like 3rd and 2 at 157.
If Alshon catches it, if it's post 2 minutes, then the clock continues to run.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
but
like
they
another
snapped it at 201.
No. If he catches the ball, either way, he catches the ball, he still run. Once he gets tackled, the clock stops.
No. I'm saying if you take the 2 minute warning, run that same play, Alshon catches it, the clock continues to roll because it's under the 2 minute warning.
Right.
And thus, you're taking 30 seconds away from Drew Brees, forcing the Saints to possibly call a timeout to stop the clock there.
But the clock still stopped.
Yeah, the clock's still going to stop.
Yeah, but it's about what would happen after the two-minute warning, not what happens before it.
So you're betting that Jeffrey catches a pass and scampers around on the field for 30, 40
yards? Well, if it's a run play or a pass play, the clock is going to continue to move post two-minute warning.
Yeah.
It's about the post two-minute warning, not what happened before it.
Right.
I mean, I can't kill him for it, but I found it odd.
It was definitely odd. Just like, why rush it?
Take your time. Don't give Drew Brees 90 seconds remaining.
But when I asked myself, why rush it? The answer was because you were trying to keep momentum for your offense that you hadn't had since the first
I'm not going to kill Doug
minutes.
For it. Yeah. I just found it strange.
Yeah.
I'm with that. That's why they lost. Fire Doug Peterson. No.
6-1.
Exactly.
There you go.
Joe in Blackwood. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Good, buddy.
All right. So I'm pretty pissed like everybody is, but I think so two reasons why we lost. One of the main reasons, you got to give it to Jim Schwartz. He's one of the most stubborn defensive coordinators in the league. We had the momentum going when it was 14 to nothing. The problem was when Fletcher Cox got hurt, that's when we kind of lost the momentum a little bit. And I don't blame Foles as much because Foles was taking us down to the score again. It's a few things that just derailed us. I think when Fletcher Cox got hurt and then you started seeing all the other injuries, the team just kind of got out of sync. You know, like that pass to Aguilar when he was, when Foles threw that one pass to him and it's pretty much a touchdown. Aguilar's like unaware the ball's even in the air. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Nick Foles said after the game that Alshon had a couple of different routes he could have run there, a couple of options based on what the defense gave him. And he just felt, well, first off, he said that he should have given the ball more air. Which I thought, if he did, Nelson never turned around anyway, and that they basically weren't on the same page.
But the drive that killed us was the 11-minute drive.
Yeah,
like the one call, Seth Jordan said, you had two penalties on that drive. So you had like a 3rd and long, and you had a 1st and long, and on the 3rd and long, you got to get the Saints credit because to me the Saints didn't do anything to us to really stop us besides this one little simple thing. Second half they started playing the corners press, and that disrupted our rhythm a little bit. We didn't do that to them for whatever reason. On every 3rd and long, you didn't bring the corners up. And I understand you had a young guy come in, but you're giving these guys like 10 yards to just throw the ball, turn around, and get the 1st down. And that that third and long where Bradham was right there where he could have cleaned Thomas's clock, I have no idea what he was doing. So to me, the biggest fault is Jim Schwartz. You got to get rid of him. I wanted him going before we went to the school last year.
They scored 20 points. They put up 20 points. One of the best offenses in the NFL, 31 points per game. You allowed 20, and you want to fire the defensive coordinator.
Well, here's why. Because it's not about the 20 points, which is great, but it's about in the clutch moment. How do you put the team in position to win in the clutch moment?
4-0 to end the season. Who is anyone here firing Jim Schwartz?
I would think about it.
Would you do it? We're all thinking about it right now.
Yes.
I'm not firing the guy.
I would.
Why? Because of the Super Bowl?
I don't like the coverage sometimes. I don't like the change up. I don't like the lack of blitzing. I would bring somebody in that's a little bit more aggressive.
What is that? Does anyone come to mind?
No, I don't.
Todd Bowles?
Didn't he just sign with
Tampa Bay? Yeah, he signed.
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not firing the guy.
I'm not either. I'm not.
He's frustrating as all hell.
He's had about a dozen
different corners throughout the season.
Look, we came into this season and it cracked me up like, oh, things are great. And I was one of them. Things are great. But one of the things I said, the caveat that I had was, well, yeah, let's look at the defense, though. They're going to need some improvement, especially that secondary. They gave up 511 passing yards in the Super Bowl. They gave up 31.
To the greatest quarterback ever.
Okay. 511?
Uh-huh.
I don't care if you're playing God. You shouldn't give up 5-11.
All right, well, Tom Brady's God's assistant.
He's God with a right arm.
But God took the day off.
Look, there's been some circumstances. I mean, you know, Mark, you said earlier how frustrating it was that they lost this game and that game and the other game. Mm-hmm. Well, all right, look at the three games probably that we're talking about. It goes directly to Jim Schwartz, whether it's Jacksonville, whether it's Tennessee, whether it's Minnesota, whether it's Carolina.
Well, like, Carolina, the offense stays on the field for even more than 2 minutes in the fourth quarter.
You're up 17-0 in the fourth quarter, though. Like, you got to get, you know, when you asked earlier about what do you think cost him the game, and I said the defense, and Brian and Twitter just said, Bob, you're an idiot. You know, how do you say the defense lost the game? The defense didn't get off the field. They couldn't get off the field. That was huge. Yeah. It took away from the offense, and it got their defense so tired they just couldn't compete anymore.
Did he say, Bob, you're an idiot, or did he say, you're an idiot, Bob?
He didn't say it that way. He should have.
And even when he did have all of his pieces in the secondary, they were getting lit up. So, I mean, you know. You did a good job of bringing in some guys. I mean, you know, getting the younger guys getting going and trying to protect them. But, I mean, at some point, you're going to have to change it up, man. You got to try to threaten off.
No, I hear you on that. Let's get Jeff in St. Augustine. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, man.
I just wanted to say, I actually lived in New Orleans for about 5 years. And I'll tell you what you guys were mentioning about the fans and what Drew Brees said after the game, I'm glad everybody's on my bandwagon. I cannot stand that team.
Yeah, I absolutely hate the Saints now. I am not even kidding. I hate the New Orleans Saints.
They have to be the worst fan base. If I heard Who That one more time when I lived there, I was about ready to choke somebody. I was also a Tennessee graduate, and I'm a little disappointed in Alvin Kamara. I know he's a great player, but everything that he had done after the game trolling the Philadelphia fans, I'm no longer a fan of his either.
Dreams and nightmares, playing that in the locker room, singing along to it, doing the ski mask, trying to take credit for that. And I understand they might have done that last year. And I understand that the Eagles tried to do it, but it wasn't like an homage or anything like that or trying to rip it off from the Saints. It was something about themselves. They hadn't gotten any turnovers.
Yeah, and I just don't understand it, but I enjoyed watching the game. I do believe that it was Jim Schwartz's situation that he lost the game. I don't think I need the guy fired, but that's really all I wanted to say. I really appreciate you guys. I'm getting ready to run out of service. So,
all right, Jeff, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks, Chef.
Thanks.
Appreciate it, man. Let's get to who do we have here? We have
got to ask you. So you're just, Schwartz is back, no questions asked, boom, that's done, do.
He corrected a lot of mistakes. The third and longs, fourth and longs were a problem all year long, but I'm not firing him for that one thing, especially if I've already won a Super Bowl with the guy.
Are you taking a look at it?
Oh, absolutely.
You're evaluating.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
He doesn't get away scot-free.
You're evaluating with the total thought in your head that nothing's going to change, but I'm evaluating.
Well, I mean, I've already done that. That's why I've come to the conclusion of not firing him.
Okay.
Like a lot of the things, you can place blame on Jim Schwartz, and he should get a lot of the blame here,
right?
Because the third and down, there's been a consistent problem all year long in these losses.
A lot of longs.
Not being the third and long, not being able to get off the field, having those issues, not blitzing enough. Saying the blitz worked for you against Jacksonville and London because the field was slippery, and then not being able to do that once you saw that it worked.
The only thing I get where he's coming from a little bit. Drew Brees is the most effective quarterback in the history of football against the blitz. And if you start blitzing and you're leaving that secondary who wasn't performing out there on islands, that could have gotten ugly quick.
This is how it took. This is what it took to really break down Josh Hawkins. that's really what it took to ultimately break down.
Well, if you're not going to blitz, then you damn sure better put somebody over Michael Thomas.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Why can't you double-team him?
Yeah, you can't let him walk out of the game with 171 yards.
Yeah, bracket coverage all day.
Awful. Now, I'm not saying he's perfect. Let's get Mike and Del Ran up here. He's been holding. Mike, what's going on, buddy? Good to finally meet you Friday.
We lasted in the playoff longer than the Cowboys! Yeah,
silver lining.
You guys too on Friday. Listen, I love jumping on Jim Schwartz. I've done it a lot. But if you would have told me yesterday that we would have held the Saints to 20 points, I would have thought we would have won the game.
Yeah, you would have signed him to a contract.
Yeah, you can argue that the defense couldn't get off the field, but the offense couldn't stay on the field.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you right now, I looked at my buddy when Nick Foles threw that first pick, and I said, there it goes. Momentum is gone. Right? We had the momentum. We could have went up 21-0 with the ball at half. And Nick Foles, you know, hey, he's done great things for our team, but that killed our momentum right there. You know, it's not like we're staying on the field with the defense against Mitch Trubisky, right? This is Drew Brees we're talking about. I'm not blaming this game on him. I'm blaming it on the lack of the offense being able to play for three more quarters. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, guys, this is how it feels when you lose with house money. You just go on with your day.
See, I hate house money. I felt this team was going to win this game. And if that ball doesn't go through the hands of Alshon Jeffrey, I can almost guarantee you they were going to win this game.
I agree with you, too. You know, I mean, Alshon Jeffrey, you know, he's making that play 90% of the time. So it's like, you know, hey, man, I'm ready. You know, I'm going to move on to next season. I've learned this season that I hate Minnesota Vikings fans and New Orleans Saints fans.
That's right.
Hey, thank you for the season. Go E-S-C-L-E-S, Eagles Gather!
Yeah, we haven't even heard. Thanks, Mike. Good talking to you, buddy. We haven't even heard from Alshon Jeffrey yet. We'll hear from him in the locker room yesterday.
Oh, man.
Like, talk about guys you just want to hug. I give him all the credit in the world for standing in his locker and just fielding the questions.
Does he get a hug from you, Trey? After the game, or is it a, come on, man, catch the ball?
Nah, you give him a hug, man.
Bro hug, or does it linger?
It's just bro hug.
Do you hold him?
Just hey, man.
Because you weren't hugging Foles.
How many pats on the back?
A good pat on the back.
There's just one?
Two pats on the back.
Two pats? All right, two pat.
Yeah, there man, you that go. That sucks, man. That really sucks.
We lost because of you!
when he had his helmet buried in the turf, I was just like...
That was just a tough situation.
I was like, bud, get up. Get up.
Yeah, and then God, we're so soft.
Doug grabbing him and talking in his ear. I was like, oh, that's my coach. That's my coach.
Rick is just tweeted me saying, fire Jim Schwartz. Hire Rex Ryan.
Oh, God. For the sake of the feet of the women of Philadelphia, we can't do that.
Per reports, it might be true. I don't know. I got nothing on that. 610-632-0975. You're going to talk to Graf, Sid, Nick, Brian, Joe, Tom. Coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas on the updates. So two pats for Alshon on the back there, Trey?
Yeah.
Two pats?
Pats, man. You know,
well,
it's tough, man.
The game-winning, game-clinching interception for the Saints went through the hands of Alshon Jeffrey. And Alshon, good for him. Stood in his locker, fielded the questions. Here's Alshon Jeffrey postgame.
I mean, that dude need a whole offseason. I'm training and grinding because I know each every in his life, each guy in his life, man, we want the same thing. And we hate this feeling right now.
Through the offseason, as he's working out, this will be on repeat in his head over and over and over again, won't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, because, I mean, it was a play that he could have made. It's just unfortunate that he didn't, and it ended up being a turnover.
Do you have a play that repeats in your head?
No.
One do-over?
No. I can't remember a lot of the plays. So, it's just, yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't laugh at that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I have a condition.
But, no. It's because you choose that. You always said you were in the moment.
Short memory. Laser focus.
A lot of the plays, I don't know.
All right, well, how would you like to have a coach like Doug Peterson? Did you see this yesterday? This was all over Twitter. All the reporters down there were tweeting out videos of this. Doug Peterson actually stood outside the locker room and was like bro-hugging every player that came off the field that had tears in their eyes. And it was like, you know that emotional intelligence that Jeffrey Lurie talked about after he fired Chip Kelly? This is the epitome of that. So after the game, Doug Peterson's doing his press conference, and he wanted to talk about the message that he gave his team in the locker room after the loss.
Emotional intelligence. We set out on a journey way back in OTAs, and we keep talking about having no regrets, you know, and leave everything out on the field. And they did that tonight. You know, they did that this afternoon, and they battled right to the end. We had opportunities. So proud of them, proud of the season, proud of the adversity that we faced all season long and found our way to get into the postseason, and just wish the Saints, good luck going forward.
Yeah, I don't think he meant that. Sid in Lansdale, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Sid?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
What's that?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Been better.
Good. Just wanted you guys' opinion. To me, the turning point in the game is that Jernigan penalty, my sportsmanlike conduct.
Yeah,
everybody had the momentum. We had the momentum at that time.
Yeah, that one did hurt.
That gets put on the under the label of stupid.
Yeah.
Because that was a big penalty. You made a big stop, and then Jernigan, for whatever reason, it felt like he had to say something to whoever that was.
That being said, that was a little bit sensitive of the referee. I mean, I don't know. That was in the game.
It had to be called, though.
He wasn't gyrating in front of the ref like the Colts game, I believe it was. Nobody saw that?
No.
Well, here's the thing. The Jernigan thing, because I heard somebody else bring that up after the game yesterday. And that took the Saints from the 8-yard line, their own 8-yard line, to the 22-yard line. So he had him backed up. And then later in the game, the Saints put together two scoring drives that started within their own 8-yard line. So it was like, if they wanted to get the ball going, they could get the ball going. So I guess it didn't jump out to me as much as other people. Graf, what's on your mind today, brother?
Guys, I'm going to make it quick. It was the best word imaginable to use today is deflated. After 2 years of just pure euphoria and joy and watching this team do the impossible and the improbable day in and day out, it's all finally come to an end. And the excitement obviously is gone, but it's not totally. Like, in all honesty, boys, the dance will continue. I don't see this team not proceeding to make it to the playoffs at least every other year, if not every year, for the next couple of years. Like, the chances of us becoming that team that was in the playoffs in the early 2000s every season is not completely out of reach. And, you know, we lost the game on a play that Alshon Jeffrey makes 99.999% of the time. So, and we could talk Jim Schwartz all we want. We really can. But he held that team to 20 points inside the Superdome, the loudest place on earth. So I'm really not coming out this morning totally, totally upset and totally emotional. I'm just deflated. It's gone. It's past, and it's time to move on in my eyes and recalibrate and get it going again. And I am just, in the long run, I am so thankful to have lived through this for the past 2 years. Because you know what the truth is? The Philadelphia Eagles have made my life better. And I cannot sit here and say that last night completely took that away from them, because they have, without question, made my life better over the past 2 years.
All right.
And I am thankful for that.
Graf,
and
real
I'm
quick.
Thankful for Nick Foles.
Real quick, did you ever think you would reach a point like this in your fandom as a Philadelphia sports fan?
I did not, to be honest with you, Mark. I didn't think I would see a Super Bowl this early in my life either. I mean, I'm 28 years old and I got to see one, and there have been guys who have lived their entire lives without seeing a Super Bowl won by the Philadelphia Eagles. And Alshon Jeffrey made the greatest catch, the greatest TD catch I've ever seen in a Super Bowl in my entire life, with a torn rotator cuff, and he goes on to miss one freak catch that he would have caught again any other time throughout the season. So, look, it sucks, and we have every right to be upset this morning, but just remember something. It's really not over in the great grand scheme of things. Dougie T is still our coach. Carson Wentz will still be our quarterback, and we're still going to have incredible talent on this team. It's just trying to figure out which ones we keep and which ones we let go, and it's going to be a very, very interesting offseason. Mm-hmm. And I am curious as to what they get for Nick Foles. I hope to God John Gruden is dumb enough to allow us to fleece him for that fourth pick. Poor Nick Foles.
We'll all root for that. I think they still have to re-up with him, the $20 million before they send him over there.
Hey, boys, you know, you got the green light for the rest of the week to be upset and miserable, but afterwards, you know, let's reminisce and realize that we've been incredibly fortunate these past 2 years to go through what we've gone through. So I'm good to go, and, you know, we'll keep moving. But right. Love you guys, and it was a great season and a lot of fun, family.
Back at you, Graf. Thanks for calling, buddy. Here's the thing and going around to fans, and Graf just reminded me of this. Talking to all these fans last night, there was a sense of, like, bewilderment. Like, they didn't know. And these are people that are probably in their mid-20s, partying at Xfinity Live, having a good time, whatever. But they didn't know what to do with themselves, because their entire lives up until last year. Like, I remember when the Phillies won for me, up until that year in 08. What's winning? I don't know what that is, right? Never experienced a parade. And there's a sense of, oh, my God, we actually did it. And now, if you've lived through the 08, you lived through 08 in the World Series, and you lived through the Super Bowl last year, there's a sense of like, wow, like you feel almost blessed that you had the experience that you had last year, and it's comforting after a disappointing loss like yesterday, especially one that you felt like was in your... You should have had this game yesterday.
Yeah.
And normally that'd be killing you as a Philadelphia sports fan. But because you have the security blanket of last year, you can snuggle up next to it and go, yeah, it ain't so bad.
Yeah, well, the comfort ends here, okay? It's over.
For me too,
comfort's
Bob.
Over.
For
now you
too.
Go into next season, you need another one. Then you need another one. Comfort's over.
I agree.
I don't like but the softness.
We are in the minority with that attitude. Being angry is like, oh, no. It's a successful season.
Yeah, I said it at the beginning of this season. Oh, no, you know, everything's great. No, forget last season. Every season's a new one. And you have every right to be pissed today. And you have every right to say what the hell happened in those three games that you brought up earlier that could have maybe had them hosting a game yesterday, maybe even against the Dallas Cowboys, something like that. So you have every right to be upset. The way it ended, sure, if you want to go back to last year and feel all soft and comfy and say we're still defending champions until February 2nd, fine and dandy. But no, move on and let's go. Right this ship. Do well in this draft in the offseason. Do whatever you have to do. Get for Foles or get rid of Foles. Whatever you're going to do, make this team good enough to host playoff games next year. That is the goal right now.
That sounds easy enough, especially when you're going to get a guy back like Carson Wentz, who's supposed to be an MVP caliber quarterback, and hopefully he gets right back to that status when he returns to the field of play.
I say he will.
Yeah, Trey, you confident about that?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he's going to look at this stretch of when Foles was in the game, and we'll learn a lot from it. Just the way that Foles was looking for the deep threat, the way he spread the ball around, and I think that this is definitely going to make.
Swimsuit check, sunscreen check, phone charger check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.